You know what March is, right?
Your birthday.
My birthday, exactly.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
Exactly. That is Sunday. My birthday starts.
Okay,
on
YouTube. We're going off of you, so have a good evening.
Goodbye, YouTube. Goodbye. I'm going to toss this over here. I'm going to just take this little fatty cast and move that over there. I told you that I dropped ChatGPT, my paid
Well, I thought that GPT was a long time ago.
I talked about
because you were doing Gemini. It,
Yeah, so but I still maintain my ChatGPT. I have a ChatGPT account at work. I just dropped my ChatGPT account here, and I have Claude. So right now I have Gemini and Claude. So
I just have ChatGPT. So what occasion should I put? Anniversary, Boss's Day, birthday, Christmas, Cinco de Mayo, Diwali or Diwali, Easter?
No, but right now we're in the Feast of Ramadan.
Father's Day, Friendship Day, Halloween, Hanukkah, just because.
Put Ramadan.
Ramadan. It's not an option.
Then Eid.
Okay, Eid.
Because Eid is actually, they are right now in Ramadan, but Eid is coming up in March. Oh, it's my dad's birthday, March 19th. So March 19th will be Eid. But in the entire month before Eid, Muslims are not allowed to eat or drink during the daylight.
Kathy Marshall will be happy about this. My question is, or the gift message is, my so-so question is, would you give a friend your room number if he text messaged you and asked for it? That's my so-so question.
That's your so-so question.
So, apparently not, because he still hasn't given it to me. He messaged again and said, it was. So what's with the room number question? Oh, wait, that's for the mix. And I said, I'm not giving out your room number, laugh out loud, but we are recording the mix. I still haven't answered his question. He's not going to give it to me until I tell him why I want it.
You don't need it.
But I'm not going to. I've just done it without it.
You know his name.
I do know his name.
Name is Clyde Heppenflaffer.
Yes. I'm surprised you gave that out on live air.
It's not live. There's three people listening. There's two people
Claude Heppenfoffer.
Auntie Scott and Kathy Marshall. And they both know that his name is Clyde Heppenfoffer. That's well known. It's well known. Where's my list over here? So, as you know, I have some things on the RV that I need to get fixed.
Yes, before you sell it, I believe is what
you'd before say. We can sell it. Mm-hmm. And the problem with it is that it's 2 hours south of me, and so it's a whole thing. Like and obviously, if I'm down there, I'm staying in the RV, so it's hard to do work on the RV if I'm down. If I'm staying in it while I'm down there, and so it's just a very inconvenient thing to try to get it done. And anyway, my sister, out of the blue, my sister calls and she's like, hey, if we were to put in a hookup up at the lake, would you put your you want to put your RV here, because they're tearing down the lake house and building a new one. And so for this year, there won't be a house there as they build the new one. And they're like, yeah, if the RV's here, then,
By the way, sorry to interrupt you. Can you do 30?
Yeah, that's fine.
I just realized they charged me a $20 service fee. I already hit submit. It's too late.
It's too late, Adam.
Okay. Anyway, it'll be sent tomorrow. I'll call the hotel in the morning and tell them to expect it.
Yeah, that'll help. I was the person that answered.
They'll put a note on his file and then.
Oh, yeah. That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
They got me because I didn't even look. I didn't pay attention. I should have reviewed my order. They had a whole screen to review your order and you couldn't. Anyway, they told you could keep the RV at the lake house.
They're like, hey, do you want to store your RV at your lake house? And I mean, you know what? I would, yeah, actually, that would really, really be great because lake house.
I assume you're paying to store it at the campground.
I am not a lot. I pay $600 a year, but
well, that's not chicken feed, Daniel. That's $600. But if it,
at the lake house, it's only 7 miles from my house, so then I could actually meet an RV guy, a mechanic out there at the lake.
Yeah.
So we're going to be relocating the RV from South Florida back up here to this area. My only concern is the driveway getting into the property of the lake is a very sharp turn. And I don't think that the RV is going to make that turn. So we either need to remove a piece of the fence on the other side of the property so that I can just, you know, come in from the road off, you know, through the, off the back side of the property. Or do something with the gate, or have something other than a truck maneuver it, like you know, like a little bobcat or something. Maybe could make that turn, but it's yeah. But anyway, I'll figure that out. But that was just like it's like oh, that'll be great because then we can actually just go to the lake anytime and hang out in the RV.
Cool.
So yeah, so I'm very excited about that. Now, your whole WordPress thing, I got this thing today in my, you know, I have a WordPress site.
No, I didn't know that, but.
Okay. Daniel J. Brewer.
Oh, yeah, I guess I do. I didn't know it was WordPress, but I guess
Daniel
I did.
DanielJBrewer.com is hosted on a WordPress site. I don't ever have problems with upgrades because I let it take care of that for me. So when I log into my WordPress,
it doesn't update the PHP
finished,
on your server. You're using a shared update the PHP on your
exactly,
server.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. They upgrade it. But I found this thing. I got this email today and I thought of you. It came from WordPress.com because I host on WordPress.com. And it's like the WordPress AI assistant is now available to enable on WordPress.com business and commerce plans. Turn it on and AI becomes part of the editor and the media library, helping you create and update your site content on the go. But I was thinking like, oh, I wonder if it will let you... you know, set like, hey, always keep the software updated, or hey, like, go ahead and just always say yes to the upgrade. Just always say yes to the upgrade, and you know, kind of a thing. But no, it doesn't. But I thought of you though. I was just like, I wonder, and that's what led me to think, oh, you could run Claude in your CLI. Actually, you could run Codex because you, if you have a ChatGPT account, you can just run Codex.
Sure.
Have you ever played with the terminal apps?
I have not. I need to because I need to learn that, but I haven't. I just do
there's not a lot to learn other than the fact that it's
I've done it in Visual Studio Code for coding, but I've not done it specifically in the terminal.
All right. So the thing that the terminal gives you is it's the same. You know, you're still. It's still ChatGPT, right? You're still talking to ChatGPT. So you talk to it in the exact same way that you talk to ChatGPT. But it has the ability to read and write files on your computer where it's at. So that's the added layer that you, at first, you're like going, yeah, okay, that's great. But that makes such a huge difference because it's like you, in that directory, so like in my code base in that directory, I can tell it's like, hey, what do you need to know about the structure of this program? Put that in a file called agents.md, and that agents.md file is like always loaded every time that you run it in that directory. So it's like, it always, I don't ever have to explain, you know, this program is a Blazor application that does blah, you know, I don't have to spend time on that context, you know, because it's there in my family. And at the end of a session, I can go update agents.md with anything you think you need to remember. Right. And it's like, and it'll update. But, the speed at which this stuff is improving is very impressive. Like, 6 months ago, when I was doing the terminal stuff as like my daily driver, like programming wise, right? I would like a typical terminal session or a typical session like that would be, in this file, like in this C file over here, there's a routine called this, and I'm having a problem. It needs to do this, right? Like I would really have to handhold it and give it, it's like in this file, in this area, there's a feature I want to add that I don't want to spend the time typing because it's a UI thing. Just go put that in there. And that was primarily how I used it, right? That was primarily how I used it. But this latest round of frontier models, so specifically GPT-5.3 Codex and Opus 4.6, something has, it's changed the way that things is like. So the demo that I did the other day was, come into this code base blind, like you don't know anything about this code. Come into this code base blind, read through the code and, map it out for yourself so that you understand how it works, right? Now, I want to add two fields to this export, of type date time, do that. And, it did do that. It did everything that it was supposed to. That was the only instruction I gave it. I did not give it any, I didn't say create a database migration and add it to this file. And it's like, it figured out that it had to add the fields in the API side for the request and on the C# side for the database. And also that was entity frameworks and that created new fields. And so you had to do a migration to get the database to update itself. And then you also needed to change the app settings to a full because you're adding new fields and you need to fully populate them. And so it figured all that out and did it perfectly. And that's something that didn't work 6 months ago. Like just six months ago, that didn't work. And now it's worked. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm from an automation background.
Yeah.
And I know how hard automation is and how fragile it can be. And so, although I'm excited about it, I think I've put off using it because I had concerns that it would take just as long, if not longer, to do the things I needed to do because there would be that fragility, that I'm talking about. So it's good to hear that it's better than, or at least now it's better than you expected it to be, because that gives me a little bit of incentive to try it out. But I haven't.
Yeah, I use Codex. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to say I mostly use it because I'm not coding a whole lot right now. But when I do, like when I did the Cruise Ducks website, that was done by ChatGPT. Yeah. When I did, now what I use it for, now that I'm home most of the time and I'm not doing as much coding, I will when I'm doing migrations and things like that, that I don't remember the exact steps of how to do a thing. I'll just be like, hey, I'm trying to migrate this over from here to here. Can you tell me how to do it? But you're saying, you said, hey, do this for me. So, that's one. Yeah. And then I use it for recipes. Like, I'll be like, I've got this, this, and this in the refrigerator. This is what I'm thinking I want to make. Can you give me amounts, of ingredients and stuff like that? And it works great.
I've done that. Did that for the steak thing. Remember, we talked about that. I did that for the steak thing. But it's like the Claude that runs on my Linux laptop. It's great because I'm like, you know what? There's a whole bunch of different directories that I need to go to. Can you make like a shortcut so I can just type in, like D space keyword and it'll do it for me? And it's like, yeah, sure. I'll add it to your bash.rc. So it happens every time. Here's the command structure. You can, do it. And it's like, it did all that.
So you had to do some sort of setup for those things to have control of your computer enough to do those things, right? Like just permissions and stuff like that.
I run it in YOLO mode, but if you don't, then when you start it, first run it in a new directory, it will say, hey, do you trust this directory or not? Like, is this a, you know, if it sees a Git repository, is this trusted or is it not trusted? And then it will ask periodically for like permissions. So it's like, okay, I'm going to look through the code right now. And it's going to say, it'll say like, it needs permission to be able to run like sed or grep or something like that. And your choices are, you can either yes, do a one for yes, or two, yes for always, yes, always, you can always run grep. Like, you know, and it's specified down to what it's doing. Right? Yeah, you can always run grep. Or three is like, no, don't do that. I'll tell you what else to do. Or, you know, four, like, stop what you're doing.
And is that only available right now with Claude, or will does ChatGPT's terminal stuff?
No, that's what I'm saying. Codex. Well? This is all of them. This is Codex. Is all of them. Okay. So I use Gemini. So the two that I pay for I pay for Claude only by the month, because I'm just evaluating it, right? But my daily driver is Gemini. I have a yearly pro plan with Gemini. So, and Gemini's CLI is exact same. You just run Gemini from, you know, they all run under Linux. So you have to have WSL if you're going to do it on Windows. But they don't run on Windows. So you have to run.
I'm mostly on Macs now. I mean, I have a Windows machine, but my daily driver that I also podcast from is a Mac. So
yeah, there's CLIs for that. So, and you run them, and but there's one for Gemini, there's one for ChatGPT called Codex, there's one for Anthropic called Claude, there's one for GitHub Copilot has a CLI that runs, and they all run against your usage on your regular account. You authenticate through your pro account or whatever, so it's going against your same pro account usage,
right?
Or enterprise usage at work. But
I think I guilt tripped Auntie Scott into joining us tonight, so I want to thank him for joining us.
Because how did you guilt trip Auntie
Scott? He had emailed me to ask how I was doing. Very nice. And I emailed him back and, you know, told him how I was doing. And in the email, I said something about we missed him because we haven't seen him in a while.
Yes.
And then when he emailed back, he gave me a little bit of a reason why he hasn't been. And I won't go into detail, but it wasn't you.
I'm kidding.
There are various things going on in their life at the moment that just they've been busy. And so anyway... But now I feel like I've guilted him into joining us.
You did. You basically did. You extorted the elderly.
Well, we sure do miss seeing you. Wouldn't hurt. It's like a mom. You know, when your mom's like, well,
wouldn't help.
I loved it when I saw you more often. I just, but you know.
Yeah, Zach's mom is in the hospital right now. Oh. And she's about to have a catheter, like a arterial catheter in her heart.
Like a stent?
Yeah, but they're trying to find, it's an exploratory thing. But I mean, that's a very common procedure. It's nothing really to worry about. But he's been very, very upset about that. So it's like,
You would be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, like,
well, I mean, you might not be because you're from a medical family and you're like, well, there's nothing. But if you're not from a medical family, it sounds like a major thing, right?
Yeah. But yeah, she was supposed
to tell him I said thoughts and prayers. No, don't really tell him that because that would.
She was supposed to go in today, but they never got to her today, so they moved it till tomorrow. Mm. And
if they're not getting to her, that means it's not serious enough for them.
That's what I said. It was just like, well, like, look, she's in the hospital. It's like if something goes wrong, she's exactly where she needs to be. It's like if this was an emergency, they would already have done the surgery. Because they can.
Doesn't he watch The Pit?
They can bill more for that. No, we haven't watched season two of The Pit yet. That's on our list to watch The Pit. All right. So I talked about the AI assistant of WordPress. I talked about Claude. The 5.3 Codex. I talked about that.
Look at you're just breezing through them. You're just
I am. Because you provided nothing, Adam. Nothing.
I did.
What did you do? What did you do? Why did you need the week off? What was that? What was that week that you?
That was
off?
The Scott Conant.
Oh, that's the Germ Fest.
Yeah, it was an hour away, and so by the time we had dinner, and then drove back home, it was going to be past time that we would normally start the show. So,
yeah,
that's where I was. And it was Valentine's weekend, so yeah. That was our Valentine's meal with each other, was that one.
What did we do for Valentine's Day? Nothing, really.
We didn't do any cards or candy or anything like that. We just had a dinner.
Yeah. Which, we ate at Cake Bake. That's what we did.
Because you text messaged me. I think I was driving home.
But we, our anniversary is in February, early February. So we typically don't do Valentine's Day. But this time, for our anniversary, we ate a cake back, and that's where I texted you from.
Yeah, but I feel like it was the 13th.
No.
The 14th is Valentine's Day, but we were at the Scott Conant thing on Friday the 13th. Uh-huh. See? It was the day before Valentine's. And I believe that's... Well, you know what? I can look, because I have...
You could. You have the evidence right in front of you.
And you don't text me that often, so...
I do not. I am the world's worst at replying to people. And email, text, it doesn't matter. I'm horrible at all of it. Let's see. I'm going to scroll up.
I don't see it.
Probably sent
you. But I could have sworn you texted me.
You must have done
Facebook Messenger, did you?
No. Didn't we talk on the phone?
No, I feel like you sent me a text.
January.
Well, I don't know where you messaged me, because I don't have it.
I don't either.
But I know you did. I know you did.
I feel like I remember it, but I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
In the text.
No,
so
I also remember it.
Maybe we
are hallucinating. Are we hallucinating the same thing? Because I remember you. I remember you messaging me with like a picture of a cake or something.
Yeah.
Or like
a picture of a cake.
I don't know. Maybe you just told me that you ate there like last time we recorded, and I got in my head that you texted me because... You know, I imagine.
No, I think I called you at one point. I want you to text me.
And so my brain's like telling me that you text me.
There's been a couple of times I just called you cold.
Maybe you called. Could have been.
And you're like, oh, we're doing this thing. I'm like, yeah, we're at this other thing.
Could be.
Wait, what do I have left?
You have three things. Traders Podcast, Discord Changes, and another D&D game down.
All right, so I don't know how to. So there's this lady that used to work where I work, and so I knew her from work, and we had done some projects together, some video project stuff together for work, and anyway, she got cut during one of the early layoff things. But we're still connected on Facebook, even though I try not to use Facebook. We're still connected. And she had a post the other day or a couple of weeks ago or whatever. It was just like, hey, if anyone wants to play D&D, I'm trying to start a game. And so I messaged her. I was like, hey, is this like a one-shot? Is this a campaign or, you know? And she's like, oh, it's a series of one shots, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm interested. And so she threw me into this group. And it's kind of one of these, you know, there's like 30 people in there or something. And so she's like, all right, well, here's the dates that we can do these one shots. Just pick a date that you can play. And if there's more than four people on that date, then we'll schedule that session. And it's these, you don't have to be at every session. That's not, you know, this is, these are just one shots. You're not expected, you know, they're not
Right. Okay.
And so I picked my day, and those people that picked that day got put into a different chat so that they could, you know, talk
right.
about the game. And so she gives us our I don't even need to remember. I can just tell you because it's right here in the chat. She gives us the opening bit, right? Congratulations, everyone. It's time for the annual Willow Speak Town Fair. People come from all around the kingdom to sample the exotic food, see the amazing exhibitions, and try their hands at game of skill and chance. Do your characters come from far away, or are they denizens of Willow Speak already? Do your characters know each other? What sorts of games are you looking forward to competing in? These are the hypothetical questions that we will answer as part of the introductions during your gaming session. And then somebody in the chat says, can we have a little more background on the town of Willow Speak itself and or the kingdom that it resides in? So if we want to be from there, that we'll know something about it. And so she writes this whole big thing.
Okay.
No, Willow Speak is centrally located in the kingdom of Eldwidge, and then it's nestled between this thing and that thing, and then to the south is this thing, and to the east is that thing, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I...
You think she had all that written by ChatGPT? Like, hey, can you give me some backstory for this town?
No. I mean, most modules have these things.
Oh, you think she just has a book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But my point is that, or if it's homegrown, whatever. I mean, this is typical D&D. So I basically took the thing that she typed and I gave it to Gemini, and I was just like, hey, can you figure out from this description, like a rough map of, you know, where these things are? And it did. It went and made a, can I share my screen? It's not.
It may say you can ask me.
Here, I'll just post it in the Discord so that Kathy Marshall can see as well. So it made this map that looked like this over on the chat, over on Discord.
You should be able to share now, but I see it.
Yeah. So I made this little map, and you know, and I put it in the chat. I'm like,
does this look right?
Yeah. I basically said, so like this, and she said, not really, but then she put a laughing face, a laughing emoji.
Yeah.
And then she says, the map I have is super messy. Okay. So then I said, oh, well, that was just Gemini's take on your description.
Right.
And she responded to it with a puking emoji.
Oh, she doesn't like AI.
And then says... AI being used for art is very against my vibes. Now I want to point
you out.
Hold on, I want to point out. When I posted the image and I said like this, and she's like, "Not really, ha ha ha."
Yeah.
The map I have is super messy.
Yeah.
So she didn't hate it when I posted it. She only hated it after I said it was. So my question is, does she think I drew that? Does she think that I sat down and drew that? Like,
because, I don't know. That's a good question. Because I'm assuming it was within like 5 minutes.
Yes, or something. Exactly. So, exactly. It's like, do you think I sat down and made this? Of course it's AI.
Maybe it's maybe it was from a book and she thought you had it.
Also, the hubris of calling maps art is just like, all right, I get that there artists.
Maps for fantasy novels are kind of art.
Hold on, let me finish. I get that there are art pieces that people buy and people sell, and that, you know, that it is a commodity. I get that. I get that people make their living off of making art.
I have a map of London framed on my wall. So it's
okay. But and I get that, you know, that yes, you know, in a lot of ways, AI allows someone to set up an Etsy shop and sell maps, you know, that ChatGPT makes for them, whatever. I get that. I get that, right? That people are upset over that. However, I was never going to pay an artist to make me a map of what I'm trying to figure out. So I'm not hurting anyone. It's not like I took a job from an artist. No one was going to be paid to make this map. So I didn't, nothing was lost. It's just a tool. It's just an imaging tool that I have. If I was going to make a t-shirt or whatever, I probably wouldn't use ChatGPT. It's like, I just don't. There's just the holier than thou aspect of it. The whole,
so did
like,
she you kick
know,
you out AI, or are you just not interested now?
Oh, I'm leaving. No, it's like, no, fuck that. It's like, because I'm already anxious that there's like 8 people in this D&D session that are straight people and I don't know them.
See,
right? It's
I've always made my living off of automating things, or a lot of my career was based on automating things. So basically taking jobs from people because I was like automating testing or whatever the case may be. So I'm totally okay with automation that removes the human whatever. And I think even with like, you know, synthesizers, they have trumpets on synthesizers.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of times it will remove the need to have an orchestra. But I'm not anti-synthesizer. Like,
you can go back to just computers.
Yeah, I mean,
now people can do math on the computers, and they don't need accountants anymore. They're not going to need people to do math anymore.
So I've just made a decision that I'm okay with it, and I don't know why you should separate art from coding or anything else. Like, because AI can generate code, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs probably. Or not be able to find a job because the junior level engineering. Well, I mean, there will be some impact. I don't think it'll be zero. I mean, there will be.
There will be some impact. But on the one hand, you are displacing some of the programming jobs out there, or you're making them less valuable. But at the same time, we're driving towards a point where the cost of software development is, you know, becoming way cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So companies generally, unless they're big companies like yours, companies generally can't afford to have custom software, for the things that they do or whatever, because that the cost of developing that is, you know, astronomical, right? And dev team, and especially if you're not a development company, especially if you're not a programming company, right? So, as the cost of software development falls and approaches zero, you're going to need more programmers, not less. And the way that I like to explain it to people is, I program in multiple different languages, and I had to learn the syntax and everything of those languages. This is just programming in English. It's like, I'm still architecting it. I'm still doing the
you are, but it'll take less of you because as it gets better and better. But what I'm saying is, though, is not completely that, is I have a problem with people, artists, who, because I've heard a lot of artists on podcasts and stuff, and they'll be like, no, you can never use AI to generate art because they're artists. Right. Yeah. But they don't seem to hold the same opinion about everything else that they're using AI for that also could potentially take jobs from people. They're only concerned about it for art. And I'm like, I don't like it when you just have the opinion for art. If you have the opinion for everything, fine. I can respect that. But if you're like, oh, I'm an artist, I don't want it to take away, you know, jobs from artists, then that's where I have a problem with it.
Awesome. So am I being ridiculous? I haven't left yet.
Well,
because the game is not until March
23rd.
If you want
D&D games, I think you should play. And if you like the people,
no,
you
I
should
play.
Okay, then don't.
I mean, that's
if you don't
just,
want
that's
to,
about,
then don't.
Here's the thing. I was already anxious with there was these people that I don't know, and they're all straight people. And, it's like, all right, great. How do I deal with these people?
Kathy
and
Marshall says the introduction of photography was greeted in a similar way, wasn't it? Yes, it was.
But now on top of that, now those 8 people I've been called out in front of those 8 people of like, oh, don't use your dirty AI. You know, so
well,
now I'm just
don't
like,
don't go in there with like an AI generated backstory and everything else for your character.
And it's just like, I'm just like, ugh, So that's more why I wanted to leave more than anything. It's just like, oh, you've already, now I'm embarrassed. It's like now, you know, it's like, I think it's dumb that you don't like AI helping. And I think that's a ridiculous position to hold.
It's However, a game. Like you said, who's going to go out and hire an artist?
Yeah.
It's to like, do however, a map for a D&D game.
If you don't want me to post it, you know, whatever, I won't. That's fine. I didn't know that was a rule. I'm happy to not post that. So I'm still going to use it. It's like, I'm still going to use it, but it's like, I won't share it with anyone. That's fine. You know, it's like, there's no way I'm not using AI to help with things. It's like that it's a tool. It's an amazing tool. And it's like, of course I'm going to use it. So yeah, I need to leave that stupid game. I'm so mad though. I want AI to get to the point where I can just play D&D with, you know, it can like,
DM you can't me. Already. I mean, it keeps talking.
It keeps talking?
Yeah, I mean, you can do something back and forth already because they won't stop talking.
So you just say, hey, D&D.
You're a DM. I know, but you're a DM. I want you to lead a game. It won't do that?
Yeah, it will, but that's a one-on-one game. I don't want a one-on-one game. I want other players. I want it to make other players.
Oh, you could set that up, but you'd have to have multiple agents. You'd have to set up a multiple agent thing where they talk to each other.
Why? Why couldn't it take on all three,
I mean, I suppose.
Why can't it act as multiple different personalities? Well,
have you tried? Maybe it can.
I did. I tried briefly with Gemini, and it was probably a year ago, so it may have come along a lot further from then.
I would think it would be more quality if you did like three separate agents plus yourself.
Yeah, but that's not necessary if
one
they
of them
can
is the DM
if they can keep their personality separate. So it's like the experiment I did is I DM'd and I had Gemini create four players. Mm-hmm. And then I had those players like roll their characters and describe what their characters look like, and then we made artwork for their characters and stuff. And then we went, you know, started the, and that all went well. And then we started the adventure and it would forget things. Like it would say like, I'm going to use my two-handed sword. It's like, you don't have a two-handed sword. He's like,
yes, like, I do. It's like, I do now.
And it was like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you're right. Sorry about that. And whatever.
You know what always irritates me about that is it'll go, I'm going to use the banana of destiny. And you're like, dude, you don't have a banana. And it's like, oh, you're right. I don't. I'm going to use the cataclysmic sword. You're like, you don't have one of those either, dumbass. And then everything it says, it's wrong. And you're like, no, none of this. But it's probably a context thing because the context has to be sent back and forth every time for it to remember. And how big is its window? Eventually, it's going to start forgetting, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
and when you have like a game like that, it's very complicated with multiple players, and you're doing it all in one session.
But
so there's only so much memory.
Yeah, but MPQ could help with that. It's like you don't need to store every single thing. You just need to store the major. Like we don't store every single word in our memory. We just store the concept or the memory. You know what I'm saying? My point is that you can do this at any point in time in any AI conversation. You can say, can you like summarize the context, like everything that we've talked about so far? Can you summarize it so that I can, you know, if I were to start a new chat, you would have the thing. But if you're using the terminal stuff, you can just have it summarize its own stuff.
I mean, think about it. You don't listen, I guess, or you're really behind. But Big Fatty's AI show.
Yeah.
Gail and King can't even remember which one of them is who.
Yeah.
Sometimes Gail says she's King.
Yeah.
And King says he's Gail. Yeah.
Let's see. There was I read something today.
Kathy, I stopped listening to it because I thought it was getting stuff wrong, and I haven't listened to those shows, so I feel like it's going to give me a false impression.
I feel like today on the AI news thing that I saw.
Whoa.
Stop. Where's your list?
Was that porn or something?
No, that was Matt Wolf.
Oh.
No. Where did I hear this thing that it was some AI dude? There was some AI agent that was arguing with the user, basically, and it was just like that it had. Oh, it's the Anthropic thing. Okay. I'm remembering now. Let's get to my news story. It had something to do with Anthropic agent vending. No, who had the vending machine?
I don't know. Somebody had a vending machine?
There we go. Yes. Yeah, I think it was an article in the New York Times about it. They gave it. So Anthropic put Claude in charge of a vending machine at its offices, and it was responsible for stocking it and figuring out what to put in it and the prices and the accounting and all that stuff. But the employees kept, you know, trying to punk it and, like, you know, like saying, hey, why don't you have meth in the machine? And why don't you have, these other things? And they named him Claudius. So it's Claudius's job to then find a vendor, order the item, and get it delivered. Human oversight is limited, but they do review Claudius's purchase request, step in when it gets stuck, and take care of physical labor. It just did. Why on earth did I just spend $15 on 120 grams of Swedish fish? One Anthropic employee vented. Cooper asked Graham how well Claudius is running his business. It has lost quite a bit of money. It keeps getting scammed by our employees. Where was the phone call? It was complaining to a vendor, and it was just like, this is not what we agreed to. And then the vendor like emailed back and was just like, and then the thing was like, I called you and talked to Tom Middleman whatever. And it's like, and that was a VP from the website, from their company. So it was a real VP at their company. He's like, I called Tom Wegman and we agreed to this. And then, Tom Wegman was like,
just lying through it.
It just kept lying. It was just like, okay.
Well, you have to understand. I mean, you just have to understand, and normal people don't. But you just have to understand that all this thing is doing is predicting the next word. And if your prompt is not good enough, even a lot of times if your prompt is good enough, it's going to find a way to put some lies in there. So you can't believe everything.
But that's not entirely true. It's not all it's doing. It's not only
figuring out
the next word. It is, it's got access to tools and stuff, it has some basic reasoning things built around it. It's not a part of the LLM, but it's a part of that's what makes Anthropic and ChatGPT, right? There's software written around it.
Well, yes,
and then guardrails and training and
the quality of that software, which is just prompts. It's just prompts.
Exactly. Yeah.
The quality of that is going to determine how good your responses are.
Yeah.
Did you
see that the government blacklisted Anthropic?
Who blacklisted Anthropic?
The Department of Defense.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
So the Department of Defense had a contract to use Claude, and they wanted to be able to use Claude for any legal means, right? And Anthropic was like, yeah, we don't have a problem with that. However, there are two exceptions. You cannot use our product for spying on American citizens. and you cannot use it to create autonomous weapons. Like, you know, like a weapon that requires no human intervention.
Sounds reasonable, but I'm sure we want to do both of those things. So
yeah, so Pete Hegseth was like, no, that you're not going to tell me what it can and can't do. It's like, we need carte blanche. We need the guardrails taken off. Like, and if you don't do it, we're not only going to drop your contract, but we're going to list you as a risk to supply chain, you know, like a risk to security, which means that any company that does business with the DOD cannot use Anthropic. Like,
so, literally, so basically the government is blackmailing, just like they did, they're doing with television networks.
Yeah,
and exactly. Telling them the but FCC gets, is going to come after you right. if you keep Stephen Colbert on the air.
Right, but this has 100% has to do with spying on American citizens. And that's what it is. Like, we already have wiretap information, all that wiretap, you know, information, all, you know, all the emails, all the phone calls, all the things that they track already. But if you add like an AI layer on top of that to like put back to reassemble, you know, different pieces of information to give like it can do, you know, some real surveillance kind of thing. You know, that is a very, you know, totally illegal kind of surveillance kind of thing, because our U.S., you know, Department of Defense is not allowed to do that to American citizens. But that is exactly what they want to do, because Anthropic, you know, had a deadline until today, Friday, to change it or to be blacklisted. And Anthropic came back with a counterproposal and said, look, we're unwilling to budge on the spying on American citizens part, but the autonomous weapons thing is a safety thing, because, you know, the models are not at a point yet. You know, they're too error prone for them to be responsible for shooting a weapon, right, without human intervention. However, we are willing to work with you to develop, you know, uses in those automated weapons and stuff like that. And they're just like, nope, that's not, we need to be able to use it for everything that we're allowed to use it for. And then they fucking blacklisted. It's like, it's just fucking insane. Like, on the one hand, they're saying, like, we really need this tool. We need this tool so badly that we're willing to, you know, like, blackmail them to give it to us. And then the fact that they don't give it to us, suddenly we're going to list them as, like, some kind of security threat. It's like, it's the exact opposite. And, of course,
Kathy is saying it will do surveillance. They already integrated it with Palantir software.
But that's against the terms of service of Anthropic, and they're running up against the guardrails in Anthropic. That was the whole hubbub. But yeah, Grok has stepped in. So Elon has already stepped in and said, "Oh, we can use Grok."
Huh.
Which I don't use Grok. Like, I've never used Grok.
I've never used Grok, so I couldn't say.
So I have no idea how it does. But I'm. I am really, truly impressed with Codex, with GPT 5.3 Codex. And I know that Opus 4.6, which just came out, is supposed to be great, but I don't have a Claude account for work. You know, so it's like, yeah. I can't use my Claude account to do work things. And I can't think of a program that I want to write right now that I could test it with. I mean, I guess I could come up with something. Maybe could, like, a replacement for Google News. Like, just go out.
You
to
could write a software that grabs the text from Discord and puts it in a little web page with a green background so that I can overlay it on our video.
Isn't there, can't you
it's
just...
It's something you asked me to do, but, I mean, you can do it.
Can't you just do a theme in Discord where the background is green?
Well, I already put the chat room up, but you said you wanted something where when we got messages, they just came up over us.
Oh, yeah, that's not just a chat room. That's like a nice, you know, like an After Effects kind of like, you know, hey, here's the graphic.
So, I was trying to be more simplistic, but yes, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And there's OBS add-ons for that. Like the people use, like when people do these live YouTubes and people do super chats, whatever, that it comes through that.
True, there system. Is. There are things for everything. It's just one idea, of something you could write.
It's okay.
Doesn't no mean yours wouldn't be better.
Does anybody watch our videos? I don't know.
Some. I mean, not a whole lot, but some. I don't know about you. We don't list them on YouTube. We unlist them.
Yeah, I know.
So, but on Spotify, let's just look.
Spotify. Let's take a look, shall we?
Here. I'll do percentages. Let's see. The game mix. The last episode. About 10% of our listens come through the video.
That's higher than I would have thought.
Yeah.
Kathy Marshall says, I'm really curious what people think AI is doing.
Huh?
I mean, I know
they don't know.
So
they just don't know. They may not think anything. They're just like, this is amazing.
The thing that
it is amazing, but it's kind of a very clever. Whoever thought of that was clever.
Whoever thought of what?
Of using word like pattern matching to decide what the next word was. Because before that, it was mostly reinforcement learning. And then whoever it was that said, hey, what if we just have it learn all anything that's been written from, you know, here to eternity. Yeah. And
that
then
wasn't the breakthrough.
And then basically, like, look at the prompt and then predict the next word.
That wasn't the breakthrough. The breakthrough was the transformer neural network
the different layer, like the.
It's on my website.
The way that they determine what word is next, basically, which is the transformer.
Yes, but it was the.
Basically taking the input and running it through all the what do they call it, the filters, the different layers of
it has to do with the way because the paper that everything was built on was a thing called pay attention or something. It all has to do with appendage. So I don't have it on my it's in my notebook LM, so it's not. I didn't post that one to my website. Let me look here. One moment, please, Adam. I do have an answer. I swear I have an answer for this.
I wasn't going to go off and read the paper or anything.
No, but I can give you the link to the thing. The Transformer Architecture of Modern AI. The Transformer Architecture, the revolutionary engine behind the artificial intelligence and large language models. It describes how this design surpassed other sequential models by using parallel processing and a self-attention mechanism. That was the thing that I was trying to remember. So the self-attention mechanism to understand complex relationships between words. Key components such as positional encoding, multi-head attention, and feed-forward networks are explained through intuitive analogies to show how they contribute to the machine's grasp of concept. Of context. By eliminating the memory limitations of previous systems, the Transformer has enabled a new era of generative AI capable of high-level translation, reasoning, and creativity. This overview serves as foundational guide to the technological shift that has made tools like ChatGPT and BERT possible.
BERT?
B-E-R-T.
I haven't heard of BERT. So.
Must be old.
Must be.
Anyway, yeah, you can make a little, like here, I will share this notebook with you. I've already have the paper loaded, so all you have to do, Adam Burns, is do the, let's see, notebook restrict only people can access, yep, full notebook, viewers can chat and view source notes. Okay, I think, you should have an email that links you to the Transformer Architecture of Modern AI Notebook LM.
I did get an email. Let's see.
And it's generating the audio overview yes. right now. But yeah, just listen to that because it's fascinating. It's like that, you know, the paper is, you know, a technical paper, but it the summary does a really good job of pulling out.
They go, hey, this is King and this is Gail. And today we're going to talk about the transformer architecture. You know, the interesting thing about that, King, was I don't know.
They don't call each other by names, but it's like, yeah, in today's deep dive. Yeah, that's how all notebook LM things start.
I know.
But you know what? The ones that you're listening to now are as bad as they'll ever be.
Yeah, no, I'm very impressed with all of it. I'm just being funny.
Yeah. All right. So, oh, fuck. I haven't been recording any of this. I never engaged Craig. You're recording?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need the.
But it's going to be the whole thing.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I don't separate out the after show.
No. I mean, it's going to be the whole thing from the minute that I started streaming.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't care. That's now. Fine. I can edit. I mean, I run Craig at different times. It's like we didn't do it for 2 weeks, and I forgot to load Craig tonight.
Okay.
With the thing, which I pay for. I pay a Patreon for Craig. I should get my money back.
Well, I'll send you the file.
All right. Well, I'll send you $30. Okay. Anyway, let's say goodnight to Kathy Marshall.
Goodnight, Kathy. Marshall. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's been real.
Goodnight, level 13. We appreciate you. Hope you have a good day or night. All right.
Disconnecting. Cool.